Hey, what's going on? What's going on? Welcome to Three Heads Are Better Than One. This is a show where we bring different perspectives together, have real conversations, and challenge the way we think about love, relationship, and personal growth. I'm your host, Kwamea, joined by my amazing co-host,
Lacey,
and
Kimberly.
And we also have a special amazing guest co-host, the one and the only
Hey, everybody.
And yes, so today we are diving into the most conversations in modern dating. What do you bring to the table? This question has been floating around for years, and it sparked strong opinions from both men and women. Some say it's about financial stability, others say emotional intelligence, and some argue that the question itself is a red flag. So today we are breaking it down. What does it really mean to bring something to the table? Are expectations fair, or are people setting the bar too high? But before we get into it, make sure you subscribe, like, comment, and also follow us on all platforms and share the episode with someone who definitely needs to hear it. Now, let's get into it. So, ladies and gentlemen, and I know you, some people are probably irritated of hearing this question over and over again. What is the table in a relationship to you? I hear silence.
Who's bringing it?
Not who's bringing it. Well, I can answer this. So, what is the table to me? So, the table to me in a relationship is, to me, emotional intelligence. It's someone who has potential, someone who has, you know, ambition, as well as different aspects of family oriented, someone who's capable of love and being loved. It's someone who's also sitting there willing to have an open mindset of growth and definitely about healing. That's my table. That's my table in relationship. What about you guys?
Okay, for me, a table, I just look at it kind of literal. Like, it's like a foundation. Like, if you're bringing something to the table, you're trying to establish what actually the relationship is going to be in the future. Like, are we building something? Do we have a sturdy, like, foundation for this relationship? Like, if you ask some questions like bringing things to the table, you clearly want something more than just, you know, a hit and quit. So I feel like the table is more of like stability type question. Like, what do you bring to the table? What can we do together to build this foundation for our relationship?
Yeah. So what about you, Kim?
When I hear someone say, what do you bring to the table? I mean, of course, you know, I think it's like a financial side, but, you know, some men, like, you know, what are you bringing to the table? You know, are you just bringing your pretty face and your body? Or, you know, are you intelligent? Do you read books? Do you into the world and what's going on in the world? Like, to me, when you say that, I think you need to be evenly yoked. And a lot of people say, you know, evenly yoked means, you know, something in the Bible. But evenly yoked means, to me, that we're on the same level. You have an education, I have an education. Mm. You got a good job that's paying you pretty good, I got a good job that's paying me pretty good. Your intelligence and where you're going in life, are y'all, you know, looking for the same thing? Are y'all on the same level mentally and financially? You know, can you able to be in a relationship with someone? Because a lot of times we get into relationships, we're not even ready financially and we're not even ready, you know, mentally. So you need to be ready for that. So are you bringing issues or problems to the table, or are you bringing some real things to the table, like real life and real things? You got kids, I got kids, like y'all on just on the same level.
Yeah, that's definitely understandable. So Dewan, about you, I'm definitely wanting to hear a man perspective on this one.
Right. So when someone asks me, what do I bring to the table? First and foremost, I like to say that I'm going to bring the table, because there has to be some kind of stable, has to be a platform that you're going to base everything on first. So I can't say have you bring something to the table and we haven't established anything yet. We haven't established our, you know, relationship, how much we are going to work hard in this relationship. Or do I work? Do you work? First and foremost is going to be the table. Second is I'm going to bring protection. I'm going to bring stability, all that stuff. But that question is kind of hard to do if you don't know the person. I hate hearing that question off the break, because I don't know what you got for me to bring to the table. I don't know what you're missing. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you require. So that is a question that has to evolve throughout the relationship, so you, when you get to know each other better, you know what kind of dynamic you both have together.
And yeah. Then would the table be the table? Would that necessarily be the relationship itself? Like, are we saying what you bring into the relationship opposed to saying a table? Are we saying, what do you bring to this relationship? Is that the table?
That's the question basically being opposed, is basically what is the table in a relationship.
Okay.
So, and that's why I stated those different attributes that I stated, that is the table in a relationship to me. Because I don't want a man who is not emotional intelligent. I don't want no man who don't have a potential or at least have a career goal and that's driven to want to be successful. Not even just successful, but be to be better, to want more, to want better. I don't want an unhealed, broken man. I've done the work to sit there to make sure I got a therapist, I got a spiritual advisor, I go to church, I stay in my word spiritually, I sit there and make sure I stay committed to the things that I believe in, regardless of me to tap into be the best version of myself every single day than I was yesterday. So why would I want someone to have not those things if I'm sitting there doing the work, trusting the process, and making sure I do what I need to do to be a better me for that individual? So I want them to bring those attributes of the table in a relationship.
Question is, how do you know that's being brought to the table, though? Like, let's say this person says they're going to bring you protection and everything. Like, when are you, the time that you just determine this person's not protecting me, this person's not bringing what he said he's going to bring to the table?
Should we even ask that question or just be straight up, like, what do you want out of this relationship?
I feel like we, and now they, in this day and age, in 2025, in this day and age, it's not what our grandparents and parents when they was dating. That was a different generation. Our generation, and as we get older, and our kids' generation, we need to start asking more direct questions. Mm-hmm. Who are you? What's your relationship with your parents?
Or, do you think men,
instead of asking a credit score, which that's a good question, what is your mental health and stability?
Do people really know what their mental health is for real?
Some do.
Some people do. Say they healed and really be not, like...
Right, no, that's true.
But see, this is the thing too, because just like even Dewan said then, opposed to say, how will you know that? You would know that by taking your time to date and dating, and even if it's one person, people, three people, how many you could handle and balance. Some people could do only one, some people could do three, some people could probably do five. Cool. The actions of those individuals will show me the attributes of, if he's a protector, is he a provider, is he a family man, is he a real true father like he said he is to his children. And but again, we as women have to trust the process and enjoy the ride. So many women ask the question, what they bring to the table, and don't like the question to be opposed to them. But we also, as a lot of women, ready to take his last name, have 3 or 4 or 5 kids. You already in a big old house, two car garage, and a picket fence. You already married this man in less than 2 weeks. Why are we rushing it? We gotta stop rushing it, and enjoy the way.
Right, like
enjoy it.
Some of these dudes be love bombing. Like,
yes,
they'll love bomb the heck out of you. Like, you know, and then this thing, you know, we looking around like they haven't even known each other that long. Like, what's really going on? You know,
right.
And then you find out this man has just really love bombed her. Like, but I'm gonna say this also. I was also told most men that get married, they already know that they're gonna marry this person, and they already know what they want. And I've experienced that, you know, with my business. You know, I have, you know, women customers, female customers, transgender, whatever. But like when I deal with women, they, you know, they're very indecisive of sometimes what they want. They kind of take a minute to go back and forth with prices and the colors and, oh, that costs too much. Or, well, let me go this way, let me go that way. And then the men, you know, like, hey, I see that shirt. I want that shirt. And this color, this is my size. I'm going to send you the money. Boom. They don't even go back and forth like that because they already know what they want.
So you saying men really ain't that complicated. It's just they see sometimes, like, sometimes women go over and beyond to try to be the person that they think you are. And sometimes that backfire, because if y'all just now dating and you immediately saying, oh, I do this, I do that, I do this, like, how do you even know that's really what he wants? So it's almost like you're trying to mold yourself to be somebody and y'all ain't even dated long enough to even know each other's personalities for real. It's like a facade. Like, everybody has a dating facade at first. Then you get into the actual person. So let's go through the dating phase first before you start
saying. But that basically poses the statement that Kim ended up just saying. So do men and women value different things when asking this question?
Most definitely. I think our mindsets when it comes to relationships are totally different. Where maybe a woman might be thinking about, how am I going to support the family? How am I going to provide protection? How am I going to provide, you know, all different things? Where, man, I'll be honest with you, my brothers, we mainly just looking at y'all are fine a lot of times. I'm sorry, that's the truth. I mean, y'all looking good, y'all, you know what I'm saying, smelling good. Y'all check all those boxes. Look, we can sometimes don't care until later on. They'll be like, man, she don't clean up, she don't do this, you know. But you didn't think about that beforehand, right? Because you saw her fine ass and walking around, you just assumed that she all what you want, and you didn't think about it later on. So that is a problem that we have a lot of times. We see visually, because we're very visual people, and we see visually what we like, and we're good at that part. So
you don't think age plays a part in the, like, in that aspect? Like, the older you are, the more you think about, like, permanent things, more so the facade? Okay.
Definitely, but at the same time, we're still, once again, visual people, so.
Yeah, you know, it's they bigger. Gotta look good, like.
Yeah, it's a bigger portion of it, but once again, visually, we're very, very pleased. And then the other parts start kicking in and saying, well, you know, she can't cook. She can't manage her finances. She can't take care of children. So all that stuff may come secondary. But first, we're going to bless you fine as hell.
Yeah. I get it. I definitely get what he's. I feel like definitely men and women do value different things when asking this question, because just like the fact that we are different in the physical aspect of realms, we are emotional. They are more what they call men, more level-headed, I guess. Mm-hmm. But
testosterone driven.
but also, is this question is a fair way to gauge compatibility?
No.
I don't think so.
Because I mean, like you say, you can be a doctor, a nurse, a lawyer, and still have whack attitude. So
true.
Or don't clean your house. Like, what if he values a clean house and a very well put together woman, but she might have all the money in the world. She has a house, she has a car, but when he walk in, it's stuff everywhere. She only take a bath once every 3 days.
Okay, I don't know about all that. You're doing too much on that one. Like, but I do know that there's men who have married women that they know don't cook and can't cook. And when you
do, and be mad.
The men that I know who marry women who know from the beginning, knew them before they even asked to marry them, that they can't cook and don't know how to cook. That's a choice that you're choosing to choose this woman, that you know what she brings and what she don't bring. You know her good assets and you know her lack of, or you know what she doesn't have.
Yeah.
You choose that. So how the fuck can you be mad?
But you know, like, man, now, I know what Lexi was saying, though, was what she was saying, like, the older you get, though, those kind of things change. Like, right now, I can cook. So, if you come in this relationship, I'm fine. I can cook. I'm good. I don't need you to cook. I don't have kids. I don't plan on having no more kids.
But
so
you wouldn't oppose to somebody that would cook, though, right?
I wouldn't really care. I mean, I'm not saying I wouldn't care. It would be a plus, but I wouldn't really, it wouldn't mess me up.
Yeah.
She checked all of the boxes. Kitchen, right?
Mm-hmm. I said, as long as she cleaned up the kitchen, because you cook, so she
exactly.
Didn't clean the kitchen.
Exactly.
Now, if she don't get up and at least say, hey, babe, come on, let's go clean the kitchen together, or I'm going to go ahead and clean the kitchen.
You got to do it now because he cooks.
That's what I'm saying. He should clean the kitchen.
Right.
Well, if I do both cook and clean, it better be some fun happening right afterwards. That's what I got to say. It better be some dessert. You take care of dessert.
That part. You cook and clean. I'm tired.
I feel like this question does gauge a compatibility, because again, that's just going back to what I stated. Me knowing the fact that if I come emotionally stable, if I come in the process of me healing or either healed or in the stages of healing and growth, and me sitting there, me working on myself to be the best version of me, and me having careers, businesses, and so many different things to a better me, I feel like that should be a compatibility. That's what I want. So, but also sometimes some people attract other things, but at the end of the day, like I say this and I pose this online and I say this before, you cannot ask for something that you are not. That might drop.
I can't ask for no doctor.
No, you listen. So do you think that you qualify a doctor to be a doctor wife?
What's the difference?
Do you think you are ready to be a doctor wife right now? Or do you mentally and emotionally, do you really think right now, do you think that everything that's going on with you, do you think that you are in a state of mind and qualification to be a doctor wife?
I might be in a state of mind, not the qualifications. Because I'm trying to say, what state of mind should you be in, like a...
Because the state of mind is the fact that you didn't be in a doctor wife, know that your man is not going to be home.
That's perfect.
That's what I'm saying.
Please don't be at home every day.
Marry these doctors and marry these millionaires and these billionaires, and they marry these entrepreneurs and these businessmen, and not understanding that these people don't have a regular 9-to-5 and they not coming right home the regular days or won't be on home.
Exactly.
It's hard to plan vacations. It's hard.
For me, it's different. Like, I don't need that all the time. So that would be perfect. Like, go home. I mean, go to work.
Yeah, she got to her house down. Like, she ain't playing. Hey.
Got you. When you get to the house, I got you.
So I want to ask all the hosts, even the co-hosts, have you ever been asked this question in dating, and how did you answer?
Yeah, I did. I was told that I graduated from a surgical tech school, and you know, he and I never put like a name to what we had. Like, we were just kicking it, and I'm like, okay, so are we in a relationship? What are we doing? Because we're doing relationship things. And he kept telling me, when you graduate, got up to my graduation. And I'm like, okay, what's going on like that? So then I was sitting in his car, mm-hmm. and because we was going out to eat. So he said, you know, come on, ride with me. So I jumped in his car, and he went in the store to get something. And I looked at his cell phone, and he had text messages coming through saying, oh, baby, I miss you. I can't wait to see you mm-hmm. again. Oh. Da, 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 da. And I looked and I said, okay, I'm not gonna say nothing. I'm a chill. So when I said something about being in a relationship, I'm done with school, what's up? He gonna say, and I already knew he was gonna say no because I just saw this text message in his phone. So I already had in my mind, hey, this is the chick that he probably really wanna be with. You know what I mean? And he just here, you know, because I'm graduating, you know. So next thing I know, he gonna say, well, nah, I don't wanna be in a relationship because you don't have anything to bring to the table.
Wow.
And he was talking about financially. He was like, well, you're not making enough money where if something happens to me, I need you to do something, or, you know, I need like an emergency, you know, $200, $500, something like that. You don't have it. So you're not financially stable. I said, okay. And then I said, so that ain't got nothing to do with your phone going off. This lady just text me talking about she loves you and done this and done that. He's like, oh, no, that ain't got nothing to do with it. And I'm like, okay, whatever. So I went in there and got me something to eat. I let him pay, you know, and hey, I mean, it was going for a while.
I let him pay. My family
was here. So it was just a lot going on that day. And, you know, and I was just sitting here like, I can't believe this ninja just sat here and pulled this move. But I said, it's okay. So the next day we talked on the phone, and I told him, I said, do you really think I'm stupid? Do you think I'm dumb? Do you think I'm slow? You're clearly with somebody else. Just say you want to go be with her and you don't want to be with me, and just leave it at that. I would have more respect for you if you say that's what you want to do. Mm-hmm. You know, don't play no games with me behind that. But eventually, you know, he was like, well, yeah. I'm like, all right. So I hung phone up. Of course, you know, I blocked them on everything. Blocked him on my phone because I didn't want to talk to him anymore. So some kind of way, he inboxed me, was it last year, year before last? So he was like, hey, how are you? And I'm like, what's up? Oh, you know, how you doing? I said, I don't even know why you asking how I'm doing. You really don't care. So what are you, what are you asking for?
My table's still not ready for you.
That's crazy, but at least he was, you know what, I can't even say that's crazy, because at least
that's kind of crazy,
but at least he was being honest. We say we want honesty from them, but when we receive it, it's like, oh, it's like you kind of question or feel some type of way. But I would respect the man honesty, because he could have went into it even more and she would not have even known that.
Right.
Then she not investing time, energy, and emotional feelings into this. Like, you can't get time, emotion, feelings back. You can't. Mm-hmm. But that's crazy. Anybody else actually was asked this question? What do you bring to the table? DeJuan, have you been asked this question before?
I definitely have before.
What?
Yeah, I've been asked that question before. And I understood where the person was coming from, because she had a child. And I guess, you know, to making sure that whoever enters into a relationship with her, she wanted to make sure she had somebody that was going to bring something. And I was asked that question. I basically was honest. I was, you know, I can say financially, I can say, you know, emotionally, whatever you want me to do. But my main point is, my main thing I wanted to let her know was, like, as this relationship evolves, I figure out what needs to be done. And I guess that's what I would bring to the table, to be the man that figures out what needs to be done and to provide to. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's the best I can give.
Did y'all work out?
No, it didn't work out. That was on her. So, you know.
Listen, I've never been asked that question before. I don't know why.
What?
I've never been asked that question before.
I would expect that for more women to not be asked that question, though.
But just there's some few men do, and I have heard friends of mine who have said they was asked that question and men had asked them that question.
Mm-hmm.
So not saying it's a bunch of men, but there's some 1%, 2%ers out there that ask some questions that, you know, of women.
I've been asked this question once, and the dude shouldn't have never even asked the question, because he didn't have a table.
See, and that's my thing. Like, most guys are going to ask this question, because most guys that told me to ask the question are dudes who don't even qualify to get anything on that table.
Why are you even talking about
They ain't got no plates. They ain't got no plates, no tablecloth. They ain't got nothing for the table. So how you expect somebody to bring something to the table?
Spoon, you got no chance.
You got no chance to sit down at the table or nothing. So, like, why are you worried about what they going to bring?
Your mama
table?
Is your table.
Wait, Lexi, I just have to just expand on this a little bit. But you said the man don't have no table. Why he didn't have no table?
His mama was the table.
Oh, so he was living with his mama. Mm-hmm. Oh, so that was his mama's table. Ooh.
Right. He eating up his mama's table and asking me what I'm bringing to y'all table. I'm not bringing nothing.
But, like, you had to get a table first. Let me bring something to it.
Exactly. I don't even care if you had to put your table in your dining room table next to your mama's table. You at least listen to this. It's not saying it's a bad thing that a man live with his mother, because I do know that there's some older gentlemen who have mortgages with their parents, or either take over houses of their parents who are of age.
Yeah, I'm not opposed to that at
My
all.
Thing is, at least they're putting in on the water bill, the mortgage, the insurance and stuff. So half of that table is this, but if you're not doing that and that whole table is your mother's,
I entertained it because I thought that's what it was, but when I started explaining what I quote unquote brought to the table, he was like, no, that's not it, you're not getting it, that ain't what I need. I'm looking like, I'm just telling you what I bring. Now you're saying it's not what you need, but how are you supposed to discuss this thing? Like, if I'm not what you need, like, stop talking.
Should the question be what, do like tell somebody what you need at the table versus what can you bring?
Right.
That's a good question, but see,
what are expectations? Is that a better question?
It's also a poll to the individual, because again, like I said earlier in the conversation, we have to start asking those hard, truth, honest, vulnerable questions. We got to
like Kim said, dudes love bum all the time.
But see, that's on your discernment. But again, and that was something.
How can you discern when somebody's blatantly lying?
Okay, let me tell you something, little girl. This is how you would really tell, okay? I don't know what's going on with you unhealed women that still got a lot of shit going on here and letting them past dudes still affect you in your frontal lobe. But let me tell you something. Tap into the discernment that God put into your gut, which is called your intuition. And you sit there and stop rushing into it, and you sit there and you feel this shit out. If you see that that's not a healthy love,
no,
and shit is going on, you gotta start putting a bigger thing and put two and two together.
But Pillow, that's right. What I'm saying. Like, okay, we had this discussion. He came to me, this is somebody else. He came to me and was like, what are your expectations for this relationship? What do you need me to do for this to be successful? Blah, 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 A, B, and C. So I laid it out. I was like, I need you to, you know, respect the fact that I have a child, respect the fact that I probably can't move when you want me to because, you know, I have a small child. I don't typically always have, you know, babysitters and this, that, and the third. Like, respect me as a person that, you know, works. And, you know, we were just laying it all out. He was like, I can do that. On down the line, he basically was like, I feel like I'm not ready to date somebody with a kid. How you gonna tell me that 4 months later?
Maybe he figured it out. You know what I'm saying? Maybe he was like, oh, nah, this ain't for me.
But then you told me if I didn't have a kid, we would be married by now. So you never wanted nobody with a kid in the first place.
And this is the thing right here. This is the next one, which you just said. Do you think people focus too much on what others bring instead of improving their damn selves?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I got to say this for the last comment, for the last topic real quick. One day I'm going to put this on a t-shirt because I love this saying. It's hard to see red flags when you're wearing rose-colored glasses. And a lot of times in the beginning of the relationship, we got those rose-colored glasses. And everything they're doing, even though they told us and said things that there's a clue that this ain't the one for me, we still go about it because we like, oh, they cute, they got dimples, they they got a fat ass, you know, whatever. We got it in our head, and then all of a sudden, when all that new car smell goes away, we like, wait a minute, that nigga broke. his mindset is stupid. I mean, we start thinking about that shit later on, but that was in our face from the beginning.
Honestly, you know, I know a lot of people don't care for Steve Harvey, but the fact that he said, you know, when we go on these jobs, we're on like a 90-day probation. Some of these jobs put you on a year probation.
Mm-hmm.
Why not put this person on a 90-day probation, or, you know, however many days you want to choose. It ain't got to be 90 days,
mm-hmm.
but put them on probation, because at the end of the day, the person that you're meeting is not the, you know, the real person. That's the representative. That person.
Right.
Just like a job, you know, everybody want to go work at these jobs, and then, you know, you get up in this job, and You meet the representative, you meet the person in HR, everybody smiling, happy.
Oh, I'm gonna get that interview, I'm acing it.
And then you get in there, you walk in the door, and it's chaos.
Mm.
And you're like, oh my God, like, that's the reason why y'all hiring all the time. Y'all can't get nobody, because it is chaos. Mm-hmm. And you know, and it's not the real person, but that's the same thing. Treat your relationship as
baby.
Your job. Put them
you
on
like,
the
line. He's such a good dude. Why is he single? I see why. This
right.
Psycho.
Put them on the line of that probation. Put them on a 4-month probation. Whatever kind of probation you put them on. But don't be falling in love real fast.
Come on.
Somebody love
you. How can you fall in love with somebody in 2 weeks?
Baby.
It's happened.
It happened.
It happened.
Well, you fall in lust. You fall in lust.
But it's not love. It's infatuation. It's not. That's not love. They just infatuated. And they're in like with that person. Like, they really, really like. Like, they don't. It's like when you put infatuation and then you put the I like them, you know, then you like, oh, I'm in love, but we really not in love. You just infatuated and you're in like with this person. I tell my son, you know, how you telling this girl you love her and calling her bae in 2 weeks? What the hell?
nowadays.
Oh, they be in love the next day. They be like that. And then they fighting the next day. And like, how you say you love this girl? Y'all don't get tussling and fighting.
Girl.
Y'all, you don't love them. You're in like, you're infatuated with this person.
Yes.
You really don't love them.
And listen, that pussy and that D is wrong.
That part.
Mm-hmm. It's like, and I swear, it's like in our kids' generation, it's like, what is happening? What's in the vagina? And what's in the D? Because I'll be like asking my son, like, he be like, yeah, mom, yeah, she gonna be wifey. I'm like, you don't even know her. You just met her off Instagram. What the fuck?
That's because that checklist is small back then. Like you don't have many checks, you know, things to check off back then. So the older you get, the longer that list get. Back then, it was easy.
You think so, though?
Yeah. Back then, it was easy. It's easy as hell to check off the list of a 15-year-old.
But it is. My list not long now, but it is a different type of list than back in the, like, I just can't deal with nobody that's going off the bat be like, if you throwing the I love you word out that quick, you're weird. Like, I'm not dealing with you. I can't deal with it. I'm not saying it back. It's weird.
Yeah, it's scary. Because to me, I had people who have done that to me. I didn't say it back, and they asked me, "Why you not saying it back?" I said, "Well, I can't say something back that I don't mean."
Exactly.
That word is very valuable, and it's not only it's a valuable, vulnerable, and sacred word, and also it's an action word. So if I don't feel that, I'm not saying that to you. I said, right. "So you'd rather for me to lie to you because you just want to just hear it? I'm not doing it." But that also opposed to me going to the next thing of saying, do people really focus on too much of what others bring and say to improving themselves? And this is something I end up mentioning earlier, and like I stated, like, you cannot want something that you not. That's how I feel like, I honestly. It's, okay, I'm not dating an unstable creature. It's not happening. I'm not dating somebody that still got trauma issues going on because I'm not your therapist. I gotta now do all this extra stuff. And the thing is, the reason why I say I'm not, y'all, and even the listeners, is because when I speak with experience. I have dated people in those situations. I'm not doing it. It's draining, it's exhausting, and it's not my ministry. God did not create me to be a therapist, a psychologist, and damn sure not a doctor.
Okay, some stuff you have to date to figure out, though, right?
Excuse me?
Because, like, some stuff you have to date to figure this out. Because, like, some people, like y'all was saying, have a facade.
You keep dating people like that to keep figuring out, and you're going to continue to be right where you at.
How could you know somebody, though? Like, you can't know nobody.
You are dating, but, okay, so you could date them to figure out, but also, at the end of the day, sometimes my discernment tells me from the door. Behavior, how they speak, it's just certain things that show me.
I understand it, but like, let's say you meet a dude, he got a stable job, got a good car, house, everything seems, you know, straight up, but on down the line, you learn certain mannerisms or certain ways he thinks about stuff or does things get on your nerves, or it just don't coincide with how you want to be.
And I'm out.
Okay. That's all I'm saying.
I'm out, because everything that glitters, everything that glitters ain't gold. Yeah, it's a no.
Normalize just getting out. Like, let's not stay in toxic situations.
Yeah, exactly. I'm out. And I'm
you just said it done. But yeah, I agree.
Yeah, but see, the thing is, to y'all, it's quicker said than done. Because the thing is like, just like what Kim said, I put motherfuckers not on a 90-day probation. They are probably on a 6-month probation, probably longer than that. Because Wendy Williams, shout out to Wendy Williams, the motherfucking queen of talk, get well, boo. At the end of the day, like Kim said, people show their representatives. And I've been in a 7-year relationship with my high school sweetheart, who was AKA my sperm donor, the father of my son. He showed a representative for years. Until I had our son, baby, I found out who the fuck he was, and that mask came off.
Right. That was literally my situation. So I get it.
So when I sit there and say my discernment go hard, when you come out of an abusive relationship and you do shit, to where I'm at today. So I don't take bullshit. I don't give people chances. I don't give them options to play with me. And I do not give room to sit there and play on my top. You're not doing it. No.
What are the top expectations men have of women? Feminine energy, support, peace, cooking, and et cetera. What do y'all feel?
That's what I feel like. I feel like that's what men. I hear a lot of men have the expectation when I.
Oh, they really want you to have that feminine energy.
Exactly. I want a woman who's feminine. I want a woman that bring me my peace. And I want a woman who support me.
No. I'm gonna say this because I hear that a lot of times. So what man wouldn't want a nice feminine woman? Here's the problem though. A lot of men don't realize that in order for your woman to be feminine, you have to allow her to be feminine. You have to provide a way for her to be feminine. So if you're not doing things to help your woman become that, you're not gonna get the energy.
Period.
You're gonna get the manly energy that you're talking about because they have to be.
You're about to make me throw this shit across the room. Because I'm telling you, the same way how men be saying they want women to be submissive, that just don't automatically happen.
What am I submitting to?
First of all, you have to create that space, place, mm-hmm. and environment. Right. And also, it has to be a safe space for a woman to end up being submissive to you. If you don't create that, nor do you end up bringing that energy, you're not getting that from that woman.
Exactly.
And I'm going to tell you, in my relationships, I was not always feminine. It was like a balance to me. Sometimes my masculine energy heightened. Sometimes my feminine came. So it was like I was fight between balance like this. But baby, in my polygamy relationship, I was feminine as fuck. I was feminine as fuck. And baby, they made sure they created that space, that place, that environment. Everything to make sure that this queen sat all up in her feminine. I was basking in that shit.
Right. And that's what I meant by creating the table. Like I have to create that table for you to be the person that I want you to be, honestly. Like, how can I expect you to be in your feminine energy and provide a home for me if I have to force you to be in your manly energy and take over the bills and take over this and that, and I am not doing my job?
Is that really manly energy, though? Like, is paying bills considered a manly
energy? No, that's not what I'm saying, but I'm saying not being in your feminine energy, being able to do what the typical thing expected of a woman to be in a relationship, how can I expect that from? Because I've been talking about, I want a traditional woman. I want a woman's gonna do this, but they not being right. Men, a traditional men, they not taking exactly. care of their woman. They not protecting their woman. They not doing all those things. They expect a certain woman, and a lot of men think they want for a woman to be that person before they be that person. And that's also the messed up thing to think too. You can't expect a woman to come in and be this person, to be this person of feminine energy, if you're not giving her what she needs.
And then especially if she's been single and a mother and taking care of stuff for so long, like, mm-hmm. I want to be in my soft girl era, but I gotta be hard right now because I don't have no other choice. So it's like, how do you, like, don't come in telling me that I have manly energy just because I don't have no other choice. Like, that's not fair. That's not giving me a fair, you know, shot right now. Like, I have to pay bills. I have to take care of this. I have to take care of that. And like, if I'm taking out the garbage and you snatching it out of my hand, like, you're supposed to do that. I'm like, I've been doing it for years. Like, you can say, hey, I got that. Like, don't snatch it. And
be like, thank you. I feel like there's a way for men to address women that they end up dating, and when they get to know and see that, okay, wow, she's tapping more into her masculine energy, and just sit back and ask themselves, okay, maybe she had to do this because there was no one else here to take over that energy, so her masculine energy had to heighten, it had to rise. And I feel like the way men should actually sit there and have that conversation, like, hey, babe, you know, I understand before I got here, you had to tap deep into your masculine energy and you was doing everything by yourself. And I definitely believe that you held that shit down amazingly. I give you your props, your praise. But I'm just going to let you know I'm here now. So all I want you to do is just bask in your feminine energy so you don't feel like you have to do it by yourself, because you don't have to do it by yourself alone. That's the way to approach the woman in regards of let her know you could bring down that masculinity cape and you could rise up that feminine crown. Because if I just feel like if you approach it in a different way with me, my defense mechanism is going to go up.
Well, look, hey, Queen, let me tell you this. This is between a man and a boy. A boy is going to hear you say, hey, well, see you taking the trash out, and then he'll go, hey, let me take that out for you, okay? That's a boy. A man is going to preemptively think about that before you even thought about it, go do it. So that you don't have to think about
it. Right.
And that's where it comes in to help a woman be in her feminine energy is to not let even have her think about those things. You need those bills paid. I already paid it already. Yeah. You need to trash out. Oh, I took it out before you got home.
Somebody literally did me like that. Like, I was sitting around. We was chilling, having like a little kickback. I look around. I'm like, where the garbage that I had sitting right here? And even my friend girl, they were like, oh, so-and-so took it out already. I'm like, I was lost. Like, what?
Your man did that?
He wasn't even my man, though.
But still, he just... I bet he got lucky that night. But
it wasn't like that. It was like, he literally just was like, this is a female with trash in her house, and yeah. I'm just so used to taking it out. Like,
that you wasn't used to. And this is the thing, I want our women to start getting used to that and stop blocking that. And it may feel funny after a while, but fall the fuck back and let it happen.
Right.
Like, don't fight against it. Because I see some women fighting against it, but listen. So the same
nah,
way...
Nah, baby, as, you want to do it. Go ahead.
The same way as the question was posed, what are the top expectations men have of women? What are the top expectations women have of men? I could go first. Provider, protector, emotional intelligence, have a great mindset, being open-minded. Because I hate motherfuckers that have a one-sided mindset. I don't like that. But those are my top expectations that I have of men. Yes, please. Because even when I go out with my male friends, I want to know that, listen, they got me. Which they got, well, they're my male friends.
Exactly. Like, I don't want to be standing at the gate. I don't want to be standing at the door and y'all gone in. And I'm sitting there like, I thought y'all knew the owner.
They're like, what you waiting for? Come on. What you?
Well, I thought y'all knew the owner. Why am I sitting here? Like, what?
Listen, I don't care if it's my brother, my fathers, my uncles, or my friends, or my brothers from another mister. When I go out so far, I'm blessed to say that anybody I chose in my life to be a chosen brother or a friend or whatever, even family, I feel safe. I feel protected.
Yeah, it depends on who I'm with.
Yeah, you got to change your circle, baby. Mm-mm.
No, I mean, I think my circle like up and down. Like, you do one
ain't
side,
no up and
do
down for me. And see, the thing is this. It's okay because people who listen to some women won't agree with you because they probably say the same thing. So I'm going to say this. There's some friends I have, which I do have. I have my ratchet little friends. I have my in-between like me. We both on two sides of the street. I lived in the suburbs and I lived in the hood. But then I have my full suburbs and I have my full hood chicks. You know what I'm saying? And I got my full blurs and nerds. When I mixed them all together, at one point I thought it was going to be crazy. I thought it was going to be like, oh, this is going to be... But certain people really connected with certain elements of one another. But also, you have to think about this. Sometimes you can't always blend them together. Mm-hmm. And if you do blend them together, you have to know who's who.
Which ones.
Exactly. Yeah. The same way as when you go out. I know what brothers, I know what uncles, I know what male cousins, who to go out with, because I know that I'm going to be good.
Right.
Absolutely. I'll
pick up a tag. Okay. Dawan, did you have anything to say about that part? About the expectations women have for men? Do you have a comment?
I think that as men, we had to listen more to find out what those things that you guys are looking for. Okay. I think both sexes, I'll be honest with you, both sides, I believe, make assumptions based on what they want, what the other person may need. We're, like you said before, we are totally different people. Like, we're just, we think differently, we feel differently, and what may be important to you may not be important to her, and vice versa. So just get to know, or have that conversation. And get to know who your woman is to find out what she expects from the relationship. Because a lot of times, the relationship be over and you be like, well, I didn't know I was supposed to do that. Well, if you talk to her, you find out.
Okay, so are modern dating standards realistic? What do y'all think?
Modern dating standards? What is that? Because I feel like I'm old and I'm not in this era, so
today's dating. So let's just put it like this.
What's my experience dating, as far as with today's dating in this era?
Is it realistic nowadays? Is today's dating realistic? Let's just
I'm gonna say this to me. There is a lot of unrealistic expectations as far as with, because social media fuels a lot of people's relationships.
You better speak.
So for me, it's like tradition is almost like obsolete at this point. Like, you want tradition, but do you really know what it is? So it's like, I want a woman to do this. I want a man to do this, but you want to be on Facebook doing it. So it's like, is that really getting a connection, or you just want to do this for the gram?
Right.
Like, you want to be on TikTok going live and talking about how amazing this man is, or how amazing I am as a woman, and I do this, I do that. But then in real life, like, are you really like this? Or are you trying to build yourself up as a character? Or are you really this person? So it's kind of hard for people to even gauge and date, because we're so used to the facade of a person that it's hard to even know if somebody is real now. They want to do it for the gram. They want to do it for TikTok. They want to do it for likes. They want to do it for the live. They want to get 1,000 views. They want to get 1,000 likes. But then in real life, you're like a con artist.
Right.
So it's like,
Stella, what about you? What do you think?
I feel like modern dating standards isn't realistic, because I could go off and piggyback with Lexi said, everything is done for social media. It's done for the gram. It's done for, like she said, the likes, the views, the clickbait. You could look so good and go to that person's social media page and you will sit there and be so happy. And a lot of people are like, oh, that's couple goals. That's couple goals. You don't even know what's really going on behind that picture.
You beauty and black.
Exactly. Thank you. Shout out to Tyler Perry. But at the end of the day, it's like, you cannot sit there and say those are couple goals, because you don't know what that couple went through. Like, for instance, example, Kurt and Rashida. People could probably say that that's couple goals, right?
No, they wouldn't.
But at the same time, there's people going to say that they're not. Because there's some women going to say, oh, she's holding her man down. But there's some women that's going to say, girl, you look like a fool because he's been doing this to you for so long. But at the same time, but there's going to be another percentage of women that's going to sit there and say, well, marriage isn't easy. You're going to have your ups and downs and your highs and your lows, which that's absolutely true. But damn, how many times is your husband going to keep
making you like a for social media, we would never know.
How like many back times in- your husband going to make you keep looking like a fool? And then fuck social media. If it wasn't for that reality TV show, we would not know.
Back in the day, your grandma probably had 3 outside children she was raising, because your granddaddy got a whole nother family on the other side of the river. Yeah. If it was TikTok and social media back then, we wouldn't have these types of stories, but
nobody would really know too much of nobody's business.
Exactly.
If it wasn't for Facebook and people writing long-ass paragraphs about their cousin, mother, uncle, friend, sister, cousin, like, or the fact of posting these fake-ass couple goals fucking pictures, but then behind doors, you sitting there chasing this nigga because he said they had 3 babies on you, or the fact is you coming on TikTok and on live with a whole fucking facade fake-ass life. So I don't really think that dating, modern dating nowadays, the standards is realistic. I feel like everybody doing it for one another. Everybody doing it to compete. And it's popularity. So no.
What happened to dating?
I don't really think there is any standards these days in dating, honestly. I think the facades are there, definitely, or what you're supposed to do and supposed to show everybody else that you have. But once again, there are a lot of these people, like men and women, don't have don't ask the right questions, don't require the right things, and then one later on wonder why this relationship didn't work out, because you didn't. How did you not know that this dude didn't really like to have a job? Like, you know, he didn't have one at the time, but he don't want no job. Like, now it's a year later, and you still just now realizing it. Like, there's those type of things. Like, these days, they don't really ask the questions, or even find out if this is the person, do they have the same mindset that I want? So I don't think there's any standards these days in dating.
I'm gonna say this, y'all, and I know y'all always, I always say this, the dating pool is a swamp right now.
Mm-hmm. It's peeing.
And when I tell you, meet a guy, and you know, you're like, and they just want to come to your house, and they want you to come to their house, and all they want to do is lay up. They don't want to go on no date. They don't really
want to. Where's the dating?
Like, it's no dating. Like, it's like nobody dates anymore. It's just like,
boy, they would date you to love bomb you. They'll take you on a date to make you feel like, oh, I'm taking you on a date. I'm opening your car door. Give me some. Like, sir, wait a minute. Hold up.
Right. Like, you know, and I've seen the videos on TikTok and on Facebook, and then the waitress will come to the table, and, you know, the dude will be like, oh, am I going to get lucky tonight? Well, that's going to be separate checks. Like, dude, come on. Like, when we start doing stuff like that? Like, that's crazy.
And, I'm going to pay for my food and block you and go home.
But why ask me out on a date if you're not going to pay?
Please let me know before I get there.
Right, because you think that you want to get lucky. I mean, like I said, nobody dates anymore. No, you know, or as my parents and your parents used to say, they don't port anymore. You know, it's just like, it's gone. It's nothing. It's
now, we
like,
said, my mom and them said, coding.
Oh, yeah, port them. They write the same thing. But it's just like everybody just jumping in the bed with each other. They're not just going on no dates and holding hands and getting to know each other. So,
oh, that's because this new generation don't even like dates. Like, girls, these little 20 and 25-year-olds, they don't even want dates. If they go on dates, they're going to be on TikTok trying to show you what they ate and trying to scam. It just be a whole lot of nothing going on for real. Right. Nobody is trying to connect. Nobody is really trying to get to know anybody. It's just like, do you got money? Okay, cash at me. Okay, you can't cash at me.
Get my hair
Let's go to the room. Okay, he gave me money for my hair and nails. We can go to the room now. Like, where's the connection?
Are men expected to bring more than a woman in a relationship? Why or why not? The woman,
gonna go for me, money. It's 50-50. Like, I mean, can you really tell somebody what to do in a relationship? Why can't we just gauge it? I don't even really know.
No, I believe the expectation has been more on the men as far as what to bring to the table. Many times I've been asked the question, many times I've heard that question asked, but when it's reversed, is what you expect me to bring to the table? Like what? Like, why are you arguing it back? Like, I'm not one of those 50-50 type dudes, but the question is, like, if you have this expectation on me, I expect that I'm gonna have these expectations on you. Like, what is it that you're
doing? Like, women put higher expectations on men.
Oh yeah.
Like, you're supposed to bring way more.
Maybe not that y'all have higher expectations, or maybe men don't have enough expectations. I think we don't really think about it. Like I said earlier, you got a nice ass and some nice jeans on, and that's all. We cool. We good. We ain't thinking about none of that stuff what you didn't bring to the table.
I feel like, to me, it's 50-50, but I have heard that women do expect men to bring more, because men, I mean, when there's some old-fashioned women who are, they call them what, traditional women, who end up basically feel like the men should pay all the bills. He should be definitely the provider, and et cetera, et cetera. And my thing is, I just don't feel that way. I feel like we are both individuals. We could either choose to bring 50-50 or either 100 and 100.
If he entertains the option of him paying more so the bill than you do A, B, and C, would you be opposed to that? Or
you say,
like, he say, I pay the bills, but you can do A, B, and C.
No, that's what I'm saying. My thing is, if I end up dating a man who say, hey, I'm paying all the bills, and you could just take the Wi-Fi, the internet cable, this and whatever, and the PSNG, I have no problem. Cool. Okay. But if he sit there and say, I don't want you to pay nothing, I'm not gonna feel comfortable with that. I don't feel
really.
I would not feel comfortable with that. Really?
What if he say he don't feel comfortable with you?
Well, guess what? He would not be my man.
So, but okay, look, let's say he just got it like that. Like, he got it so that you don't have to worry about anything.
And that's understandable. And
he's not saying, what if he's not saying you're not going to do nothing? He just got all the bills, but I still just
won't feel comfortable with that. I just would not. My husband...
Buy some groceries.
Cool. That's really nice.
That's but enough.
Nine times out of ten, who money is that coming from? His too?
To me, it's just,
there's some women who going to oppose and going to sit there and say, girl, I'll be good with that. Absolutely, you would. So with me, I don't feel comfortable of my man just paying everything. Me and him would have that one-on-one vulnerable conversation, me explaining to him why I would not feel comfortable with that. And I never shared this with nobody. My ex-husband was up there in his coin. And he was an African on top of that. And me and him had that conversation where I told him, I understand you have the dollars and the dollar bills to be able to have me lay around this motherfucker like the Queen Sheba I am. That would be nice. But I don't feel comfortable as an individual, as a woman, for you to do that. It's just not my nature. It's just not.
Well, I'm going to say this. I don't feel like a man should do everything because I feel like some men, not all men, but some men will hold it over your head. Talk about, I did this, I did that, and I did this for you, I paid this. So a lot of times, when I've been engaged in relationships and stuff like that, I literally will be going through stuff and need money to pay a bill or need this or need that, and I will not ask him for any help because I don't want him to hold it over my head. I just don't, because I've had bad experiences where some of the guys that I dated will hold it over your head, or the guy that I was engaged to, whatever he did financially, he'll hold over my head. And I'm just like, then why you pay the bill if you was gonna hold it over my head? So I just don't even go there anymore. But I'm gonna say one thing before we go to the next subject. Back in the day, I remember, and it may have not been our grandparents, but it may have been our great-great-great-grandparents. Your great-great-great-grandfather would not let his daughter date a man that don't have money, that don't have land, that don't have these things that a woman is expected for a man to have. And, your father would be like, nah, he may be a good dude, but he don't have anything to offer. So we're going to pass on that one. So your father really arranged your relationship. When you think about it, when they did that kind of thing, was it a good thing or was it a bad thing? In some situations, it may have been a good thing because your great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmother may have been well off and had money, and y'all had, money within the family, and the money got passed on down the line to us. You know what I'm saying? And we may have what they call trust funds, and we may be trust fund babies. We don't know. Long time ago, your daddy picked who you dated. Feel what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, when you think about that, like, as far as the money aspect, as far as, does he have a house? Does he have a vehicle? What kind of job does he have? Does this job have, benefits and stuff like that? If it didn't have that, your daddy said, no, you are not dating him. I don't care if you're in love with him or not, but you couldn't date him.
So,
am I right or wrong?
That's true.
Is what you bring to the table more so like a glorified way of saying, what can you do for me?
Basically, absolutely. Because basically that question opened up you asking that. It's just the fact that for some reason, some fucking idiot decide to want to take that question and oppose it to what do you bring to the table, steady asking the real question, the old-fashioned, that's how the women say, the traditional question is, what can you do for me? So now we about to dress it up and say, no, I don't want to ask that question like that no more. Now, what do you bring to the table? No, I'm still going to ask you the same way, just like Kim just said. First of all, even with my son's father, when I first brought him home, that little boy got grilled by my whole family. And any man I bring gonna get grilled by my whole family. Trust and believe, because my grandfather asked him, what do you want with my granddaughter and what can you do for her? in high school, but just like Kim say, but back in those days, they looking as if a boy is trying to cope my daughter, no matter if it's a granddaughter, great-granddaughter, great-great-great-granddaughter, that's his daughter. He gonna ask some questions. What do you want with her? What can you do for her? What's your family attributes and stuff like that? Because they looking at, you're not about to play with her. You're not about to waste her time.
But see, I think that's what got it misconstrued, because back in the day, marriages were really like partnerships. Like, they just set it up so you can be set for life. And that's probably why a lot of cheating was going on back then. I'm just speculating, but
it was more acceptable.
Like, hey, you gonna marry Jimmy down the street because his daddy owned this factory and my daddy is a preacher and we just gonna merge the families. But Jimmy really in love with Sarah over here that's in the cotton field, so.
But see, the thing is, back in the day, it was set up just the same way how the Indian and the African culture does it. Uh-huh. They arrange marriages, and when they arrange marriages, they making sure that two wealthy children from two different wealthy households get together to continue with the financial of wealthy. Because right. Again, they're setting them up for partnership, financial ship, longevity, so that there's no struggle or no borderline of no type of hardship come into play. So back in the day, like you said, like, even though Mary Jane probably wanted Billy across the street, but mommy and daddy wasn't looking at Billy was fit for Mary Jane. So Mary Jane had to fucking date David down the road or marry him.
So he can get it. We gonna build a house. We gonna get us a car.
They were setting their children up for longevity and stability.
Right.
Nowadays, you don't see that nowadays.
We're fueled by like, now men are way more emotional than they used to be. So now it's like, I don't love her, I don't want to marry her. Like, it's just, tradition is all out the door now. Like, if I don't love this person, I don't want to marry them. I don't care if they got money, if they got this, or I'm just use them. Like, is it more so fueled by social media, or is it fueled by your actual, if you're looking at something like, hey, this is what I want in life, and this is how I'm going to get it with my partner? Or do you look at TikTok and be like, I want a couple goals, so let me go find somebody. Like, so...
That's the one answer that question,
because
I'm gonna go in a
tantrum. What is the question? Because I guess I'm kind of confused.
My question was like, what I'm saying is, with what do you bring to the table? Is it more so like an arranged thing, or basically what can you do for me, or is it more so like social media fueled now? Like, we're talking about dating now and what people are bringing to the table now. Is it fueled by social media, or is it fueled still by like tradition or
real life shit?
Yeah,
I guess it all depends on where you're coming from, or who's a person, who you're asking, because somebody may have their values from their family. Like, you know, certain families are really, they're big on that. And some might get it from, like you said, from their friends or social media, or, you know, or society alone might dictate that, like, this is the type of person you want, that you need, and this is the type of stuff that they need to do. And that could dictate to you what you might want. But it all depends on, and it all depends also if you're equally yoked, as far as you have the same values or not. And if you have the same values, it should be easier to figure out what each of us are going to bring to the table.
Okay, so should the focus shift to mutual growth and compatibility instead of transactional relationship?
I think that's a difficult question to ask, because I think all relationships are, in a way, transactional. Let's keep it real. And unfortunately, and it sounds gross, but it kind of is. Like, if I'm gonna be a certain way to you, I'm gonna expect a certain way back. And if you're not giving me what I want, I'm not gonna give you what you want. So it is definitely transactional.
So we don't look at personal growth?
I think that's a part of it too. I think all of it together is an aspect of what we look for in a partner.
Because like Pillow was saying earlier, she wants somebody that's compatible, somebody that's at a certain level that can do A, B, and C. But I think when they say in transactional, they mean like you said, what can you do for me? If you can't do this for me, I'm not going to do this either. Like, it's almost like we're not going to look at how we can grow together or how compatible we are. Mm-hmm. It's about how much can you do for me, and then I will show you how I'm gonna counter that. Like,
no, I still want someone that sit there going to be able to grow with me. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, it is the fact that I'm not wanting no Build-A-Bear. I'm not that franchise. I don't have no stock. Right. I'm not doing it. Again, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a therapist. I'm not a psychiatrist. That's not my ministry.
Well, that's why it goes into mutual growth. Like, so we're both growing together.
If he's, my thing is, what attracts me to a man is when a man could take accountability, when he is emotional intelligent. A man that say, you know what? My childhood was fucking. You know what? I do need help. And I need a therapist. Or a man who is in counseling, who is, or even being counseled by a person who is in a better position to do so. And mm-hmm. someone who being able to say, you know what, I want more than being on the block or in the hood and being in the fucking urban community. I want to build a house. I want more for my family. I want to leave my children with a legacy and shit that they own. How many of us Black people could really sit there and say we have a savings and a checking account that's not in negative? How many of us could sit there and say that we all got life insurance? And you know that's not fucking true. Because how many family members we had to bury, find out they don't have life insurance, and motherfuckers got GoFundMe pages pulling up and got to do fundraisers. Come on. We got to do better. And at the same time, how many of us have an IRA and 401ks? And who has this stuff? Don't, that's the man I'm attracted to, because you want to know what? I bring that to the table. I have life insurance on me and my children.
That's how we coming at the gate. Like, are you bringing life insurance to this table?
I'm coming straight out to the gate, because
we got a 401k.
You tell me, let me see your documents. And I pulled my documents. I'm going to have a nice folder. Life insurance for me, my son, my baby daddy. Yes, I did say my baby daddy. So if he hear this, wink, wink. And not only that, I make sure my mom had insurance. And also, not only that, years ago, I created and I had my life insurance agent come to my house, to my mother's house, and I had my whole family, and I called a worldwide family meeting, and I had a life insurance party. Because at that time, after burying my cousin, and we found out he didn't have life insurance, and I said, if he don't have it, that means that other people in his family don't have it. So I gotta be the pillar in the second generation under my mother and my aunts and uncles to pull the family together to make sure everybody got their shit together. So along with my youngest aunt, who does the same thing. But yes, I'm coming out with a 401k, an IRA. I'm coming with stock and bonds. I'm coming with life insurance. I'm coming with medical, dental, vision, absolutely. And any more else that nobody else needs to know. But I'm coming with that. I'm coming with that. Yeah. So why? Well, and then if my thing is, if you're not coming with that, at least I need to hear the conversation that to get to that place.
Exactly.
You want to go to that place. Yeah, that's a whole another podcast episode. That is a whole nother podcast episode, because that's crazy. But yeah, my thing is that even if you're not coming with it, that I'm already coming at the table with it, at least I want you to come to my table and say, you know what, Q? I want to get there. I want that. That's my goal, to have that. I want to have a checking and savings account without it being negative. That I could be able to take a vacation. And how many Black people can say they got a passport? Not many.
Exactly.
I'm going to say what K. Michelle said. You can't raise a man. You can't raise a man.
Period. That's what I'm
you
saying.
Can't. I dated a few guys that, you know, that was immature, and, you know, and I'm just sitting there looking at him like, are you really sitting here throwing a temper tantrum? Really? And I've never seen that in my life, a man throwing a temper tantrum because he can't get his way, or almost 40 years old, or are you 5 years old? You know, because you really over here acting like a 5 year old, you know, and I said, I can understand if you were sitting over there like Trey and Boys in the Hood and fighting the air, you know, when he did all that. I can see you doing that, but you're literally over here and snatching yourself, like, and you know, and men don't understand that's a big turnoff to see a man, a grown man, have a temper tantrum like he a little kid. That's a big turnoff.
It's
you know, and again,
It's called no self-control. It's called no self-control.
Right.
Right. And I don't want that, because if you can't control your emotions and control yourself, then you're a liability to me.
Right.
Right.
So we're going to pose the question to the listeners, to the audience. So do you think what do you bring to the table is a valid question or a setup for conflict? So you make sure listeners and the supporters, make sure you drop that in the comment. And again, if you did not hear that question, drop a comment and let us know, do you think what do you bring to the table is a valid question or a setup for conflict? So basically, the rapid fire, I want to do a little rapid fire, right, real quick, as we wind it down, because it's been a great conversation with great perspectives and great opinions, because baby, this ain't called three hays, they better than one for no reason, right?
Period.
So, in regards to the rapid question, we're going to do a fun, quick question. So, would you rather have a partner who is emotionally supportive but broke, or financially stable but emotionally distant?
I'd rather deal with the broke dude, because one thing about it, I can, you know, I can help you find a job. I mean, help you build your resume.
That's very hard.
I mean, but I don't want to be with a man that's emotionally, you can't get on the emotional level with me. Like, you just dead on your emotions. Like, I don't want to date nobody like that. So, I'd rather deal with the broke dude. At least you can help him get a job, help him build his resume, help him, you know, get himself together. I mean, that's, and then you get with the dude that got the money. Okay, yeah, he got money, but he a butthole.
They're saying emotionally distant, which not necessarily mean he don't care about your feelings,
girl,
but he just probably
always,
don't.
You always trying to give these
motherfuckers. It's the question.
See,
she like them distant men.
I'm definitely putting her in the basement.
It's the question.
She going in the attic. Fuck the basement.
Emotionally supportive but broke. Okay, you can support my emotions, but you don't have no money.
You can help him build my.
I'm stressed out. But some men might not feel like men if you try to help them do too much. Like, it's.
Well,
it's
that's a not a good man. That's not true.
How is not?
That's not a good man. So you trying to tell me that your man gonna really get upset and feel some type of way? His ego gonna get the best of him? And because that he got a woman who has the attribute, a motivation.
Has anybody seen? has anybody seen Soul Food when
you are not about to go to a
she went and got that dude that job.
That's because
when he felt he got the job by himself, he felt better about
that
it.
Man had some feeling to do.
No one helped
him. He was unstable.
Nah. I'm about to say this. What would you... So, it's easier for a man if he's emotionally distant. It's easier for a man without a nice job or to start gaining money than to not be emotionally distant. You can fix the brokenness. You can fix that one. Like, the man who ain't got a good job or whatever, he can eventually have that. But the man who...
What's emotionally distant?
Doesn't know how to respond to you and your emotions, and how to respond about his emotions. He keeps to himself. You know, that
I might be scarred.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, that.
I think I've dealt with a lot of emotionally distant people.
Anybody who's listening and y'all agree with Lexi, you are emotional.
Put it in the comments.
I need for you to go to BetterHelp.com and get a third.
Y'all can't just bash the people. Y'all can't just bash the people that's emotionally distant.
Excuse me.
Y'all know to say, DeJuan, help me out.
For a minute, I gotta go last.
Got a nerd to say, DeJuan, help me out. Like, I was going to jump in there and jump join your feet.
Oh, my God.
So bad. Wait.
Listen, I'm not saying. Never mind. I'm not even going to say that because what's the next one?
No, listen. And listen, I understand. And I feel honesty. I really understand women who aren't in your journey or in your... pocket in your realm right now, because there is going to be other women for listeners that has your perspective and point of views, and that's in your realm of set of mind thinking right now. And again, I just need you guys to go to betterhelp.com. It's many of them out
there. That's not me.
Bitch, bye.
That's not me.
For you to sit there and say,
household rules would be traditional.
But he got money, though.
A financial stability, but no man with no emotional distance.
I never said which one I was gearing towards. I was just
I feel like you told us without telling us. I swear to God.
No, that's not true. That's not true at all. That's not true at all. I was really just trying to get the antagonist to the question. No. Why are we all agreeing? Everybody agreeing is boring. Like, it's weird.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, because, agree to your financial safety man that do not have no, who is emotional distant. Absolutely. So, longer, all I know.
I've dealt with that already.
And, you're used to it.
I would not do that again.
And that's what he would continue to pay. Just don't call my phone.
I would not do that again.
Yeah, just don't call my phone and start complaining because I'm going to hang up on you.
No.
So, should household rules be traditional or should everybody be 50-50? We talked about that earlier.
Yes, it's 50-50 for me.
What's traditional, really? Like,
I need you to Google that, honey.
Traditional is the man taking all the bills and the woman at home. That's traditional.
So,
that's traditional.
I'm a little like torn between this because on one hand I'm okay.
Don't try to help me now.
Listen, I'm not trying to help you out at all. Listen. I understand the need to be 50-50, and that's what you want to do. I'm supportive of it. And if everything is the way I want it to be, I would rather be the one taking care of the bills.
Stop, because I just asked you to help me on the last question.
No, your foolishness. No, you don't.
Exactly. Thank
you. Ain't dragged me down with you.
And the only thing that was different was the emotionally distant. That's it. This question right here. It's almost the same thing.
It's not. It's not.
It's so not at all. You really be trying it, Lexi.
50-50?
Yeah, 50-50. 50-50 or 100.
So the one want to be traditional. That's what he's saying.
I'm willing to take care
of it. Don't get in these comments. Dropping your cell phone number to the one.
For real. So what would you like for your wife to do with her money if you're paying out the mortgage or the rent and you're paying out of your
tip? Ball out.
What would you want your wife to do with her money?
So take care of you know, first of all, take care of the home. You know, whatever, you know, furniture you want to get, stuff like that. And if we're gonna plan together what we're gonna do with that. But also, you know, and let me make this clear. Because I think I left a part out that's really big for me. When I say 50-50, or when I say take care of it, I mean, first of all, combining for incomes is big for me too. Like, if you want to combine incomes and have this one account to say, this is the family account, and then boom, we have our own accounts.
Amen.
Yeah, I'm totally okay with that, because that's kind of what I did in my last marriage. Now, if I'm making more, I would rather take on the majority of the bills.
Okay.
And that's how my ex-husband wants her money.
Whatever she wants.
So, ladies, he's saying go to At Home, go to Home Goods, go to the nail shop.
Pretty much.
He said whatever you
take
want.
Take care of yourself. Don't look like a bum.
That's what Lexi would do if she had a man. Do whatever you want.
Because I would assume that you were still going to buy stuff like for the house, yeah, and buy stuff and buy,
absolutely,
like, you know, stuff like that.
We're going to the grocery store. Like, put your clothes on.
Absolutely. So the next one,
gas the cars. What you need me to do? Gas the cars.
I'll do that.
The men normally do that.
Gas
the cars up. They normally go get them cleaned and detailed and stuff.
Okay. When I used to work nights.
Traditional or not? Like, what are we doing?
I used to work nights. And when my wife was working in the daytime, I would come home from my shift, take her car, gas it up, and then drop it off for her.
At night?
No, in the morning. I used to work nights when I come home in the morning.
That is sweet. That's nice. Say that one more time for the people in the bag.
Don't say that no more, because the comment's going to be full of numbers, and we're not doing that.
I need him to say it because you were talking, so we need my brother to be a night to have a nice
So I used to work nights, and when I would come home in the daytime, in the mornings, I would get out my car. I would go check her car to see if she had, gas. If she didn't have enough gas for way more than a half tank, I would take it to go get filled up. I'll even go get her some breakfast real quick. And I throw it in the car now. Keep the car running for her to get warm until she comes out.
Oh, shit. Now, please.
Starbucks.
Listen, ladies, you hear that? And men take note. So the next rapid fire question is going to be, if someone asks you, what do you bring to the table? What's your response in one sentence?
The table. No. I hate that answer.
What would be your normal response or reaction in somebody else? One sentence.
Security.
Good job.
Isn't that stability?
That's a good question.
Stability?
He said stability. Somebody else go ahead.
He said security.
That encompasses a lot of things. Is that emotionally, physically, financially, everything?
Respect.
I definitely say security too, because like brother said, it could be able to be a realm of different things, and I need those different things under that security.
I need support.
Okay, that's nice. Period.
Have open mind.
You know what? Y'all would not see her next week because she will be in a cage. Fuck the business.
I thought I was going to be the one to get fussed at because I was...
No, I already knew I was getting fussed at every episode. So.
This was a great conversation.
We had an awesome time, y'all.
Great topic. Okay, we know somebody, the liquid libation hit hard, you know. We know.
Wait a minute. Let me tell you something. My fair all over my keyboard. That's a
you ain't eat them. That's what it was.
So I'm gonna go around just to make sure to ask one by one, what is your takeaway from this conversation? So Kim, you go first.
My takeaway from this conversation is, you know, getting the male perspective. We need that. We need to know what, you know, a man's thinking and what a man wants. I mean, that's just like we communicated with Dewan and he communicated with us what he expect. We as women, we also need to do that at home with our man. Just like we ask him, don't be embarrassed asking him questions, you know, because if you don't ask no questions, then you're going to be walking around here looking crazy. So you definitely need to have communication. I learned that too. Learn how to communicate with your man without being disrespectful or putting your hands on your hips, rolling your neck, rolling your eyes. Just sit down and say, you know, hey, baby, you know, what's going on with your life insurance? What's going on with your health insurance? You know, ask him those things. You know, where do I stand in our relationship? So the one being here definitely taught me, you know, communication. That's my takeaway.
And what I took away from the conversation is I might need to utilize my discernment a little bit. I give a lot of people the benefit of the doubt, and I'm just that type of person, but a lot of people don't deserve it, so.
I want to jump and do a hallelujah dance. Word is born.
Not the one.
Brother, what's your takeaway?
So it was really good hearing this perspective from you guys, too. And knowing that we don't really at first think that we require as much until we actually get into a relationship, and it's important as men that we figure out what that is before we get deep into one. Also, no one had an answer of hot nasty sex, because that could have been an answer. I mean, that would have been a good answer that a man would have definitely listened to. I mean, so don't forget that one. Is this kid flirty? I mean, if it is, I'm sorry.
No, it's not.
This episode is, but I think it was a little It's PG-13.
If it was kids, I'm sorry. It's a natural thing. Mommy, dad, never mind. Anyway.
Get out of Spotify. Why are y'all here?
But yeah, and I appreciate you for you ladies. And thank you for inviting me. And it was just fun.
My takeaway from this conversation was just basically bridging the gap, knowing the fact, also sharing my community with others that I meet. Like, for instance, if Dewan did not came in this building from me meeting him from another part of this life, Kim would not have had her experience. of just seeing a positive perspective, opinion, and communication from a positive man. So me just even just bringing my other people from the other side of the pond into introducing and combining them to what other people I feel that needs to see that, I'm going to start doing that more, because they'll wash out that old bullshit of those men who had some negative connotation or negative thought or feeling or experience that they experienced with men. So that's just definitely my takeaway from the whole experience. This has definitely been an amazing conversation. It was a deep conversation, but it was needed and needed to be had. Can everybody say amen?
Amen.
So let's just sum it up. So bringing something to the table isn't just about money or looks. It's about values, emotional intelligence, effort, and what both people contribute to a healthy relationship. Instead of asking, what do you bring to the table? Maybe the real question should be, do our tables align? We love to hear from you. Drop a comment, send us a DM, or tag us in your thoughts about today's episode. If you love this conversation, don't forget to subscribe, like, and leave us a comment. Help us continue to bring these amazing conversations and bridging the gaps with these conversations every week. So until next time, keep building, keep growing, and remember, three heads are always better than one.